Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Hope everybody had a fantastic Memorial Day weekend. Welcome to the program. Woo-hoo! Tell us, how was the long weekend? Did you guys get out? Did you get celebrating? How was Memorial Day for both of you guys?
It was wonderful. I had a good time.
Sound good, Key?
No, I had a good time. It was fun. What did I do? Let me think. So Saturday, I went down to the country club and got a chance to do a drive-in movie deal.
Nice.
Didn't watch the movie.
Not watch the movie?
What was the movie playing?
Star Wars, man. Why would I watch that?
I don't know. Ask the 400 million people that have watched it.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you the first thing about it. My kids, you know, they watched it, and you know, everybody kind of was around, you know, but I was just there. I was just there. You know, it was one. I was tripping off how everybody. It was guys with little. What's the white robot in Star Wars?
The white one? R2-D2.
Is it R2-D2T or whatever it's called?
Are you sure they were robots and not stormtroopers?
Maybe it was stormtrooper.
Oh, it could be the stormtrooper.
Yeah, it was a stormtrooper. That's what it was. Guy had him in the back of his truck, like many stormtroopers. I'm like, seriously? People was dressed up at the. I didn't get it, but I guess it is what it is. But it was cool. I mean, it was cool to have that fun. It's Sunday, obviously. The barbecue yesterday, swimming, barbecuing, you know. So the memorial, I promise you, I wasn't those people in Missouri, though. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, they look like they're having a good time.
Looks absolutely ridiculous.
What's wrong with y'all, Travis?
What do you mean? I wasn't there.
I soaked some short ribs in a Chardonnay for 48 hours, and then I smoked them all day. Then took them out the little smoker, put on my little apricot and honey mustard barbecue sauce, just a thin little layer, just a little bit, and then bam, people were in a food coma.
Well, mission accomplished then. You knocked people out in your food coma, you've got what you're after, right?
People scattered about. Steve must have slept for 8 hours consecutively in the middle of the day. I knocked people out. I made my world-famous sangria, which I add brandy to it to give it a little extra kick. So between
professional alcoholic.
Well, I'm not getting paid for it, but I'm very skilled. I will say that between the little chicken, you know, wings I have for appetizers, and then I smoked some turkey drumsticks, and then the beef ribs, Mama made the mac and cheese. I had the potato spears, and then obviously the punch. Between all that, yeah, we weren't really doing much of anything afterwards.
I was going to say, there's not much going on after that much food and booze.
Yeah, I'm off.
Tranquilizer.
I'm off meat the rest of the week, though. I'd have had so much damn chicken and fish to last me a year. So I'm good.
But guys, we're burying the lead here, though. We are burying the lead. The most important thing is Travis Rogers has defeated the Morty Show's honor. Woo-hoo! Once again, he went out and he defeated Ireland in your face.
Multiple ejections.
I heard you smashed him like it wasn't even close. Like it was embarrassing.
It was very similar to the way we did it about a year ago, where it was kind of close for about half the match, and then the second half it was a little bit lopsided. John kind of went sideways. He started spraying it. I started making putts, and it was the same thing. It was a comfortable win for me on the back nine, which means you guys will get John here. Probably not this week, but we'll see at some point in the next few weeks down the line. Probably sooner than later, because it sounds like we might get some basketball back before too long. So, I took care of it. I took care of our honor on the morning show, and John gets to do a double dip.
Yay!
So you got a little – did you guys social distance? That's all I really care about.
Yeah, it was good. We had, you know, Chris was out there, Amanda was out there, Tommy was there, Carlo, Janice. It was good to see everybody. Mark Cates was out there. He brought his son. It was good. We all had our own golf cart, so we were all spread out. But it was a great social distancing day at Black Gold, and lots of Coors Light and Travis Matthew gear. It was a great day across the board, mostly because I went.
Yeah, I, you know what? I should take him on. It's like he just free me. Everybody just beats on John. You know, listen, I'm up next. Like, I could beat you. You know, if he that bad, I might smash him.
Slow your roll, T. Slow your roll.
John played the role of Tom Brady on the weekend, where he just absolutely could not get. Did you guys watch any of that at all? We said Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Mickelson, and Tiger. They had their made-for-TV match. They raised $20 million. For
fantastic
relief. Yeah, so, I mean, that's just a crazy amount of money, but it was actually pretty compelling stuff. I thought
I've watched more golf this weekend between watching you on our Instagram account, and I had to watch you early on because I tuned
yeah,
in.
Yeah, well, I saw that. I'm like, I thought he was on my team. What the hell?
I tune in thinking, oh, let me see what my boy's doing. First shot, I'm like, what the hell? I'm not watching this. What the hell is wrong with you?
I couldn't watch the golf. I caught a little Lion Lance. That was okay. I caught a little bit of the lies, but, you know, I just it was on, so I watched it, sat down, you know, tried to make sense of it, but, you know, caught a few lies, but other than that.
You know, it's funny you say that, because the opening of it all, the very opening where he drops, gosh, it's got to be 20 F-bombs in the first 2 minutes of the show. And it was a little jarring. And then you go through it, and after about 5 minutes of that, you're like, you know what? This is a deeply unlikable individual. I mean, like Michael Jordan is not a warm, fuzzy, cuddly guy, but there's something really compelling about Jordan. You love him. You want him to like you. The whole Michael Jordan thing, you want to be with Michael Jordan. You want to be around him. You want to see what he's about. Lance Armstrong, after about 2 minutes, you're like, I hate this guy.
Yeah, I didn't feel quite as belligerent as you, but I certainly was just like, man, this dude here ain't nothing but a damn liar. I kind of, you know, said, yeah, well, went on about my business. It was on, so I said, at least I could do is just hear him for a few minutes and see what it's all about. Otherwise, you know, I enjoyed the sun. It was beautiful this weekend out here. God, it was gorgeous.
The thing that's fascinating about, and I agree with you, Travis, in the sense of, you know, there's a likability about Mike, and, you know, whether it's the fact that, you know, he didn't cheat to win, or that he was just kind of cool, especially when he's at his peak. And Lance, for all the things that he had accomplished via cheating, he still wasn't cool. The cause was cool. The cause we could all tap into, and we could admire him trying to direct energy and resources to fighting cancer. That was fine. But I never really felt like Lance was cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, I never felt like, even though I wore the little yellow little rubber band wrist bracelet, it was for the victims and fighting cancer. It wasn't because I wanted to be like Lance. When it came to MJ, I wanted to be like Mike. And there's like sure. there's a difference there in the way they presented themselves. And I think going into it, that's the reason why you had a bad taste in your mouth, because you realized you never really wanted to emulate this guy.
Well, first of all, cheating. So when you doping and you cheating, that's going to leave bad taste in somebody's mouth to begin with. Then on top of that, you know, you lied multiple times about it. Michael Jordan never did those things. So you're not disliking, you're not going into anything disliking Michael Jordan. Even if Lance Armstrong wasn't on a documentary and you had a chance and you just walk past him, you're going to feel a certain way. You're going to be like, man, dude, cheat.
I don't know how you feel, Travis, but for me, even before it was known that he was cheating, like say like, you know, Tour de France victory number 3 or 4, something like that, I still never wanted to emulate him.
Part of it is the sport. Why would you want to emulate him?
None. And but the part to me that was really off-putting yesterday, and I thought that the production, the 30 for 30, it was really well done. There's this little twinkle in his eye or smugness about him, like, yeah, I did it. What? You know what I mean? For instance, Alex Rodriguez got caught a couple of different times, and we know what he did. But Alex Rodriguez is not inherently unlikable like that right now. That Alex Rodriguez has a little bit of humility about what he did. There's a little bit of embarrassment about what he did. And it feels like he's tried to make right what he did to the best of his ability. So I think when Alex Rodriguez comes on TV, you're like, oh, cool. Alex Rodriguez hit a bunch of home runs, played for the Yankees. It's A-Rod. Cool. With Lance Armstrong, the only thing you see is the cheater, because he's so smug and unlikable about it that there's no contrition. It is just, this is what I did. I had to do it. Oh, well, this is what happened. I guess that's going to be the way that it is. We got another edition, or I should say the second episode coming up on Sunday, but there was not one moment in that where I felt sorry for him. Even when you're going through it and the part about his illnesses, there was never a moment where you're like, oh, okay, I kind of see why he made the decisions he did. It was all about Lance Armstrong every single time, being about Lance Armstrong, his selfishness, his arrogance. It was very off-putting.
And I think, you know, if he would have given us a while ago, just give me an excuse. Tell me the reason you did it is because it was going to help you in your cancer situation. Just give me something other than a bunch of lies. Just give me something. And then maybe I could warm up to you and start to like you. It's almost like he's a lot like Barry Bonds, where I don't know Barry personally, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it's like, ugh, because you just keep lying, man. Like you was a cold home run hitter before you started doing the steroid stuff. So just go ahead and say, man, I made a mistake. I don't know why I did it, and keep it moving.
All right, we're getting closer to the return of NBA basketball, and there might be a wrinkle in the format if and when they do come back, and it is bad news for the Lakers. That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. So we're all excited for the return of the NBA, and it seems like all arrows are pointing that we're going to get it back eventually. There could be a little bit of a twist, guys. Brian Windhorst was talking about it. Brian Windhorst is going to join us later on at 8:30 here on The Morning Show, so we can talk to him about this directly. But the NBA is at least considering an idea of taking its 16 top teams, which this year there happened to be 8 from the West and 8 from the East, but taking those 16 teams and ranking them 1 through 16, 1 place 16, regardless of conference affiliation. So, for instance, the Los Angeles Lakers would be the second seed overall, and they're taking on the Brooklyn Nets in the first round of the playoffs. And, oh, by the way, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving might be healthy by the time they start to play again.
Look, yeah, we don't want that life. We do not want that life. We don't want this idea. Who do we need to write petitions to? We're still safe at home. We got plenty of time. Laker Nation, we need to start writing some letters, sending some emails, saying, Yahtzee. Saying no, saying this is not what we want to do. We do not want this KD and Kyrie life coming out the gate in the postseason. We do not. No, so, we
so
do
essentially
not.
Essentially, it's a, so essentially it's just going to be a Sweet 16 to the finish.
Yeah.
We do not want this life, people. Trust me. Because listen, okay, I mean, KD might be rusty.
You can get popped by a weak team, though.
KD, of course you can.
But KD might be, you know, might be a little rusty. Kyrie might be a little rusty. That may take a six. But then after that, likely what's waiting for us are the Rockets, the way that this is formatted. And if we get past the Rockets, then it's the Raptors once we get past that. So I'm sitting here like going, hold up. How the hell did we have such an amazing season only to be rewarded with KD and Kyrie, Westbrook and Harden, and then the defending champions in the first three rounds? No, 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 no. We need to write. We need to petition. We need to say, no go, Mr. Silver, but we would like to keep it the old way.
Well, I think that it certainly would be exciting to a degree, but you could likely not have the Lakers and the Clippers not in the final because they can get popped by weak teams. If they get popped by weak teams, now all of a sudden you look up and you got, I don't know.
But Key, KD and Kyrie together is not a weak team.
I was just going to say, what you were saying, LZ, that they could come in a little rusty.
The reason why it's a weak team is because you got two dudes that are injured, coming off injury, and that's the reason why you would be popped by a weak team. Because makes them a weak team. These dudes are coming off injury when you was at full throttle and looked like you was getting ready to run through some stuff in the playoffs. Now you draw a team that has two superstar players that's coming off injuries. That's why it would be a weak team to me. They're not
you look at these matchups.
There.
you look at these matchups, and there really isn't a bad matchup other than the one that the Lakers are going to get. The Jazz and the Rockets is maybe a tough first-round matchup, but the Nets are the 15th seed, only that's not the team that put themselves in 15th position. The team that they're going to play is a team that would have contended to be one of the best teams in the East. This would have been a team that would have been in the top half of the draw. And look, I'm not going to go a step further and say that there's some conspiracy to prevent the Lakers from getting to an NBA championship.
Yes,
but
there is.
It sure feels like when you get right out of the gate, potentially, because to your point, LZ, maybe they're rusty. Okay, maybe they're not. Look, Kevin Durant, at worst, is the second or third best player in this whole league when he's healthy. If he comes in and goes, Kyrie is a really different stroke. He's a different dude. But when he's right, forget it. That guy is an absolute nightmare. You get those two guys together and they get cooking for a week, they can knock out anybody. And the Lakers have to deal with them first. That is a terrible, terrible draw, potentially.
It's garbage. It's a garbage setup. It is a conspiracy. It is the ghost of David Stern saying, no CP3 for you. This is not what we want to have happen to this Laker team after such an amazing season. Now, listen, do I think we can still beat Katie and Kyrie? Yeah, sure. But my point is, when you fight this hard and you're the number one seed in a conference, you're supposed to start off the postseason easy. This is a semifinal in the first round. That's not easy. That is not easy. And just like the guys could be rusty, Katie and Kyrie could be rusty, you know, the Lakers could be rusty too.
Sure.
And if you're asking me, you know, who I think could end up being a big factor for the Lakers other than AD and LeBron, obviously, I go, I don't know. I need to see them play. When I look on the other side, I'm like going, okay, I don't need to see KD and Kyrie play. I know what that is, and it ain't right. Those two in the pick and roll with no tape? Are you kidding me?
The question becomes key. Do you play if you're Kyrie? Do you play if you're Kevin Durant? Because keep in mind, these injuries were supposed to be through the regular season. But now all of a sudden, think about this. If today there was a green light, let's go play NBA basketball, it's going to take them 4 weeks plus to get ready to go. So you're talking at a minimum a month. It's probably much more than that. You're probably talking somewhere 6 to 8 weeks before you get games. So you're talking a year and plus for Kevin Durant. You're talking about a year for Kyrie Irving. If they're ready to go, do you go? Or do you say, look, this was not meant to be this season. I'm not going to play because, especially with Kevin Durant, there's an incredibly significant injury with that Achilles.
Of course you play. If it's a play-in 16, why wouldn't you play? It's you know, you certainly, if you're ready to go, you know, you can play. I don't know how far they'll get, but you certainly can play. But it just wouldn't be – it just wouldn't be the same, I don't think. I don't think the players would feel the same had they gone through a regular format for the playoffs and winning a championship. I know it's a championship, but it's different. You know, I couldn't even – I don't know if I could count that as a real championship. You know
whoever comes out of that you're talking about?
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah.
Oh, it's real. It's just
because the format – was introduced.
It's the same format. It's just different opponents, really. Instead of playing Memphis, you play Brooklyn. I mean, you still have to win four rounds of playoffs to get through it.
No, but you ain't got seven games. That one, you going one and one and one. It's one game.
No.
Bro.
No, it's not playoffs. That. It's the playoffs. It's just that the seeding is different. Instead of playing Memphis, the 8th seed in the West, you're playing the 16th seed, or in the Lakers' case, the 15th seed, which would be Brooklyn in this. It's still a series against them, and then you advance to the next round, and you play a series against them. It's still, if you go all the way to the finals, you're still playing
series. So if they're doing it like that, because that's why I asked you earlier, I said, wait a minute, it's like a Sweet 16, and you were like, yeah. I'm like,
yeah, it's a Sweet 16 in terms of
Sweet 16, and that there's 16.
I understand that brackets like that, but it's not a one and done situation. It's a serious. No. They're gonna play. How many games are they actually? What is it? A five or a seven?
This is all tentative, and it's not in cement, and we don't know. Is the short answer? We don't know if it would be best of five, best of three, best of seven. We don't know.
I would think based upon the fact that, you know, they may not start until August, that they probably would want to do this as a best of five, at least through the first two rounds.
Because August is That's because they're probably thinking about starting the season in December anyway. So, you know, starting the 2021 season in December, like they talked about on Christmas.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a possibility because the later you start, the later the next season has to start, right? You're not just going to crown a champion, sweep up the confetti, and have opening night 2 nights later.
No.
Not going to work like that.
No, but I would just assume based upon the crunch and the space, and I'm not really sure. I don't know, and maybe Brian can answer this for me, but I don't know who's paying for the locations. So if it's all going to be at Walt Disney World, is the NBA footing that bill? Is Disney carrying the water for that? So that's part of the reasons why I'm thinking it's going to be five-game series, because that's expensive. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's really expensive for whoever's going to be footing this bill to house that many people and all the facilities on private property like that.
The Clippers get a great draw. The Clippers, who would be the fourth seed in this format, would get the Dallas Mavericks in the first round. You talk about, would you rather play the 13-seeded Dallas Mavericks, or would you rather play the 15-seeded Brooklyn Nets with Kyrie and KD? That's a no-brainer. Maybe you do need a little bit of a season so the Lakers can lay down and drop a few spots, because this is a bad draw for them.
See, this is garbage, man. This is what I mean. The Clippers are now being rewarded for managing, for load management. Because they didn't play to their best potential, they're now a 4 seed. And because of that, they get rewarded with playing like an inexperienced Maverick squad. While we did everything right, and we get rewarded with KD and Kyrie. That
you
is
get,
some
you
junk,
get two
man.
Dudes coming off injuries, though, so you don't even know what they're going to look like.
I tell you this. We saw KD, you know, when he came back in the finals off just a couple of weeks or whatever, and he looked right up until he didn't. So if he's fully healthy, the only thing that gives me peace about this is that I believe – you know, it's also been a good year plus for DeMarcus Cousins. And we know that he, while he was waived, he still was working out in the facilities of the Lakers. The relationship is still very good there. If we could bring DeMarcus Cousins in because he's healthy, then I don't feel so bad about it.
Yeah, I think we're okay as far as that goes.
Yeah, it's going to be AD and LeBron. If AD and LeBron are right, they win that series. But if they're like the rust factor, who's ever a little bit less rusty right out of the gate, I mean, think about it. It's going to be 3-4 months that anybody's played when they go out there and do it, and all of a sudden it's playoff intensity right away. That could be a totally different deal. All right. Reggie Bush says that if you're going to play players, you got to give them one other thing as well. That's next on The Morning Show at 710 ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Hey, guys, we got a new Thank You Thursday promotion going on right now. 710 ESPN wants to salute all of our frontline workers and thank them for their bravery and tireless work during the COVID-19 pandemic. If you know someone who is working as a healthcare provider, an EMS worker, food service professional, police, firefighter, you can nominate him or her today. Here's how you can do it. You email us at ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com. Let me give you that email address again. It's ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com. You provide the first and last name, the city, and the occupation. Or, of course, you can post a short video on Twitter or Instagram. Use the hashtag 710 Thank You Thursdays. And then every Thursday, we're going to award a frontline worker a thank you gift prize that includes a $200 service to Valvoline Instant Oil Change and a $100 gift card from Wingstop, Shooteria, and BSLiquor.com. That's presented by Valvoline, pulling to your local Valvoline Instant Oil Change for 20% off of a service, plus grocery workers, delivery drivers, medical, and first responders get an additional 10% off. Just show your ID. Visit SoCalOilChange.com to get this offer and find locations. So to set a seniors, we're going to do a thank you shout out like we did for all those frontline workers. Very excited to do that.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I mean, we forget, you know, all the sacrifices that they made right out the gate, going way back as far as February and March. And they're still out there doing everything they can to help make sure the country is clicking and rolling and protecting us and making sure we have the necessities and supplies that we need. So definitely shout out to them for sure.
Yeah, that's a salute. Not just because of the pandemic, just everyday life in general.
Amen.
You know, just keeping us safe. I mean, all sorts of issues that we've had over the last, you know, 24, 36 months. Think about it, from the fires to this now. I mean, it's just, who do we always run to? I mean, that's just what it is. We always need them, no matter what the case is. You know, you could blow it off, but it's like, oh, I got to run back to them, and I got to depend on them to help me in this time of need and situation. So, yes, definitely a huge shout-out.
The email address, again, ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com, and you can hashtag it on Twitter or Instagram, 710-THANK-YOU-THURSDAYS. All right, Key, Reggie Bush did an interview with Playboy magazine, and they were talking about what's about to happen in college football, college athletics, where athletes can use their name and likeness to get paid. This is a quote from Reggie Bush in Playboy. "Guidance is the one thing that young athletes coming through the college system miss on so much. I missed on it. They're about to start paying college athletes. This is something that has never been experienced before, and it's going to destroy some people if their foundation is not in the right place." So that's the quote. Let me start here. Just so I have it right in my head, he's saying that it's not the money that's going to destroy somebody. It's not knowing how to use the money, how to invest the money, how to save the money. Am I reading him right?
I think that's what he's saying, but I'm not really for sure. But I kind of think that's what he's saying. I don't know if Reggie really understands. I don't know if Reggie really understands what the intent is in terms of the NCAA allowing players to use their likeness and image to benefit off of that. I don't know if he really understands. So he may be thinking that there's a huge pot of money that's going to be spent on players to use their name, likeness, image, when it's really not. You know, there's going to be two or three players out of all of college football that will benefit pretty good. Other than that, right, you're going to have, you know, it's going to be free hot dogs. I mean, it's nothing. It's not gonna
small
be
stuff.
Yeah, small stuff. So I don't know that they would need financial literacy at that point to really understand how to save the money. Reggie went on to talk about his time, I guess, as a professional, where things didn't probably go as well as he had liked with the team of people that he put together.
I want to read that quote real quick, because you're right. He went on to say, "The one thing I wish I had early in my career is proper financial knowledge. I hired good agents and I hired a good team, but I allowed that good team to make decisions for me. I'm not saying I'm going bankrupt, but if I had the proper knowledge back then, some things would be different."
Yeah, and that goes for everybody. It's if you knew what you know now, you would certainly apply that back then. I mean, that's for everybody in all walks of life. And that he could be speaking to, what if he'd have bought a skyscraper that was on sale in New York City or you know, at the time, and then all of a sudden look at where it is now, and if he'd have known and his people would have said, hey, maybe you should buy this, or maybe you should put your money in Apple, or maybe Facebook was there, or Twitter, and they passed on those sort of things. So that's more or less, I think, to what he's speaking to about he wished that he knew some of those things. And that, again, that speaks to everything in life in general. So, you know, he says something. Reggie's funny, because Reggie said on his Twitter or message or one of those social media things is that some of the stuff in the Playboy magazine he didn't say. And they just wrote,
right.
And I'm like, come on, Reggie, man, stop. You know, because he got a little heat. He got a little heat. People came down on him a little bit. Then he blamed ESPN for I guess, printing the story or commenting on it or something.
His point is not a bad one. The way that it kind of materialized is a little clumsy, but if his point, this is why I started it the way that I did, if his point is, look, you're going to introduce money and people don't know how to manage their money, that financial literacy is not something that is taught in school, it's not something that a lot of these guys coming into school, you need to teach them the basics of how to manage money before you start giving them money, I don't think that's a bad point. The idea, the headline seemed to be, Reggie Bush doesn't want to play players. That's not what he's saying. He's saying they got to know how to manage this money or it's going to turn out badly like it turned out for me. That's not a bad message.
That's kind of the message that it – but the fact of the matter is you said don't pay the players when allegedly you got a house. So I think that's a lot of it too is allegedly – he did some things that he shouldn't have did, and he gained some stuff financially, but he's trying to tell other players that they shouldn't get money. So his message kind of got lost. You know, it kind of got lost. He didn't explain it, or they didn't write it the way that he explained it to them.
You know, I can't help but wonder, and I'm real old school when it comes to, you know, this particular conversation. It all starts in high school. It all starts with home ec. It all starts with shop. You know, those things aren't in high school anymore. And because of that, you know, you have a whole generation of kids who don't even know how to write a check or balance a checkbook out of high school, in the midst of high school. When we were coming up, that was part of like the curriculum. But now that's not so much. And I hear what Reggie is saying, and what he's really talking about is just a nationwide problem. You know, Key, while you were talking, I was just curious on the statistics of the people who declare bankruptcy after winning the lottery. That's a third. A third of the people declare bankruptcy within a couple of years after winning the lottery.
You clearly have never watched that show, huh? Them dudes win, and they go buy mountains.
And jet skis.
No, jet skis. Well, that's one of the favorite was jet skis. But it's a dude that won the lottery went and bought a mountain. What are you doing?
Is it a nice one?
Good views.
Because there is, you know, there's a, I don't know what it's called, but it was a show on one of these cable networks that, you know, talked about people winning the lottery and show all the things that they was buying a house full of gold fixtures and all just. So yeah, I can see where that statistic is where it's at.
But I mean, it just all goes back to what Reggie's talking about, which is just financial literacy and discipline.
There's no players in college, LZ, that's going to make that type of money. It would certainly benefit if there was programs in college to teach kids that whether they win the lottery or whether they are professional athletes that are going to be professional athletes that would certainly teach them how to do those sort of things. Huh?
There are programs like that. They're called classes. That's what you're in school for.
But I'm talking about specific. I'm not talking.
There are specific classes.
I'm talking about where they take the athlete.
I'm with you, Keith. Yeah.
And sit them down and do those sort of things. Not normal. Not a normal classroom.
Not accounting 254. Not that. Here's the money. Here's what your agent gets. Here's what a divorce is going to cost you. Here's what a kid is going to cost you. This is what happens if your agent leaves. And this just like football math, for lack of a better term.
Sports math.
This is how much money you're going to earn. If you earn $1 million, this is how much you're actually going to have. This is how much this guy gets. If this guy's asking for more than this, he's ripping you off. This guy wants more than that, he's ripping you off. That you just some basic understanding. I agree, LZ, that if you go to class,
maybe
you're going to pick some of these things up.
But I'm talking about
just really basic football.
The way that I learned, I don't know any tech giants
who left school who then had to file for bankruptcy. That's why I'm saying just go to class.
It's not so much just go to class, LZ. I learned how to deal with people like you from Tim Tessalon. I didn't go to PR class.
Communications.
I had communications, whatever, but PR, like dealing with strictly sports PR. I learned from Tim Tessalon. He would sit me down and talk to me about the pitfalls of dealing with people like you. That's what he would tell me. People like LZ Grandison, who's a dog runner as a reporter, journalism, and a germ spreader. This is how you deal with them. This is how you answer their questions. This is how you don't answer their questions. So you learn from that. Now you can take that. And when I go to New York City and I have people like you that are rats running behind me, I know how to swipe you away and deal with you. And so that's what I'm talking about when I say that they probably should put some stuff together. And it shouldn't be when they get to the NFL, because the NFLPA certainly does those things as well as the NBA, and I'm sure other leagues do too. But by then,
right,
it's a little late.
LZ's Top 10 coming up next. That's straight ahead on the morning show on 710 ESPN. All right, let's jump right into it, LZ. What do you have for us?
All right, gentlemen. As you know, there are now whispers and chit-chats about restarting the NBA season. Everybody wants to see, you know, the Lakers win for a variety of reasons. One of them, of course, is that they feel like this is LeBron James' final chance. But there are other championships to be decided for a variety of reasons. So this is my top 10 list of teams that need a chip to silence the critics. These are the silencer championships that once they do it, they get to look back and go, yeah, now what? Now what? Coming in at number 10. The Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens needs to win a chip because their MVP has yet to win a playoff game. People are still whispering and saying, can he actually throw when you need him to throw? Is this still a gimmick?
Man, only been people in the league a week.
People are still wondering if he's just a fluke or if this is really a change in NFL. One way to tell the critics to shut up is for Lamar Jackson to do what Patrick Mahomes did, which is win the MVP one year and then win the whole thing the next year.
Man, so the Baltimore Ravens need
to win a chip to shut him up. He needs to shut him up. Number nine.
No.
Your Los Angeles Rams. They need to win a championship just to shut up Keyshawn Johnson alone. They have a new stadium. They have personnel changes. They've lost some assistant coaches. They lost a defensive coordinator in Wade Phillips. People are wondering if Sean McVay has been found out. People
coming
are wondering
up next.
If they should not have paid Jared Goff. They wonder what's going on with Todd Gurley. Nothing would set up the critics more than them to go into the new stadium and win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Key.
Has anybody, Travis, I want to ask LZ because he's a fanboy. Has anybody ever won a championship going into a new stadium?
I'd have to think about it for a second. Nothing off the top of my head.
I was thinking as LZ was trying to continue to act as though I dislike the Rams.
Well, I don't know.
Number eight.
Like the Rams. Number eight. The University of Michigan Wolverines football program desperately needs a chip. Specifically, John Harbaugh desperately needs a chip. He's already all over the internet, jumping up and down, celebrating about getting a top recruit this weekend. Well, guess what? You ain't done nothing with the recruits that you've been getting. You ain't beat Ohio State. You ain't been in the Final Four. All you've been doing is have your khakis show up in Europe, and you've been yapping with nonstop quotes. Your critics are coming after you. They think you're overrated. They think Michigan has lost its time. They say that conference belongs to other teams and not Michigan. The University of Michigan needs to win a chip to shut up the critics.
Key, how much longer does he get? Because he's been there a long time until, like LC said, it has not happened not on any level. They're not winning the conference. They're not beating Ohio State. He was the answer. It hasn't happened.
Well, they're winning 10 games a year, right? They're getting into bowl games. They're winning.
It's not why they brought him in.
I know, but I just don't know how Michigan reacts to him. Mm. You know, I don't know how the Michigan faithful, how they treat him. He's a Michigan guy, so usually when you are with an organization and you're that guy, it takes you a minute to get pushed out the way. Unlike a guy that's not a part of a program's history, they tend to run out faster. When you're part of a program's history, they let you hang around for a long time when you're winning. They tolerate that sort of stuff. So I don't
Number
know
eight.
What Michigan – I don't really know a lot about Michigan's alums.
Next. The Houston Rockets. They started off the year by trying to blow up the NBA with Daryl Morey. Yeah, I didn't forget, dog. I didn't forget how you blew up everything with China and you started hemorrhaging money before you even started playing basketball. But more importantly, is there another team that had two first ballot Hall of Famers in their prime still? Like in their prime. They ain't got nothing to show for it.
Ain't got nothing to show for it.
Nothing.
Not even an appearance in the finals.
Not even an appearance in the final. Ain't been in the finals since Elijah Wan was spinning on the baseline.
But maybe they got two of the wrong Hall of Famers.
Well, how many Hall of Famers does James Harden need? You gave him CP3. You gave him Dwight Howard.
Did he have Dwight Howard?
He's running out
briefly.
I forgot Dwight was in Houston.
That was when Dwight was on the new team about every third day.
Exactly.
Next.
Next. The Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
The Green Bay Packers need to win a chip because if they don't win, especially if they don't at least repeat last year's success, ooh, the criticism and the chirping and the nipping at Aaron Rodgers' heels and the dirty looks and we need Jordan Love and all those conversations are going to get louder and louder. But if he wins, they all get quiet. Jordan Love realizes that he was drafted by the wrong team. He ain't going to play for another 5 years. But if they don't win, you can just imagine what the media is going to say about Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, especially if they take a step back. Number five, your Los Angeles Lakers. Now, obviously, they need to win a chip for a variety of reasons.
Yes.
But the critics happens to be one of them because a lot of people feel like if LeBron James doesn't do it this year, he's never going to do it. Now, this is based upon the fact, obviously, that there is a factor about his age, but it's also just Laker hate. And the team hasn't won a championship in a little bit, and they blew up everything to bring in AD. And if we don't win a championship after blowing up everything to bring in AD, people are going to laugh at the front office, going to laugh at LeBron, and we don't want all that. So we need to win a chip to shut up the critics.
Yes.
In steps Kyrie and Kevin Durant. Wonderful. Next.
Exactly. Fight on! Nothing would shut the critics more than the USC Trojans winning the national championship.
Wow.
Nothing would upset the critics more. They've trashed them. They've trashed everyone from the president all the way down to, like, the cheerleader who doesn't really get the chance to cheer because she's always in the back. They've booed everybody. They've booed the players. They've booed the assistant coaches, the head coach. Nothing would shut up the critics like surprising the world and winning a championship. Number three. The Dodgers. Because we're out of excuses. We're out. We got the best player, or arguably the best player, you know, one or two, however you want to, you know, situate it. We got the pitching staff. We got all the talent. We got the Lux. We got the kid in Lux. We got the hair. We got the veterans. We got everything. We got renovations in the stadium. We got everything. There's no reason not to win a championship this year. None. None whatsoever. Number two. The Clippers. The Clippers need to win a championship more than any team in L.A. If they don't win a championship,
next, move along.
They're still the Clippers. The Clippers. No matter who they
have. The universe will not be right if the Clippers win a world championship. I won't know how to live in this world.
Exactly. And the number one team that needs to win a chip, the Houston Asterix. For they will be called the Houston Asterix for as long as they have not won a chip since being caught cheating. The only way you can prove you didn't need to cheat to win is to win and not be caught cheating.
Ooh.
That's the only way. Other than that, there's no team when season starts up again for the leagues, when sports happen again, there's no team, none, that needs a championship more than the Houston Asterix.
Well, no, they can go the next 10 millennium without one. They should never get one again.
Good top 10.
Thank you, sir.
Sean McVay, the head coach of the Rams, scheduled to join us next right here on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.